You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin charged a police officer with homicide last year, it was a big deal. He'd done something no other top prosecutor had done in the city's recent history. The charges were filed against Officer Christopher Samayoa, who had shot and killed Keita O'Neill in 2017.
I didn't file this case because I think Officer Samayoa is a bad person. Every indication is he's a good person. And it's a reminder that good people do bad things.
O'Neill was a 42-year-old black man.
And it was avoidable. It was preventable. It was tragic. And I believe it was criminal. It's an important message to not just San Francisco, but to the country, that no one is above the law.
This was a milestone in a country where police are so rarely charged. Today, we're bringing you the next installment in our series, The Progressive Prosecutor, looking at Boudin's first year in office. Here's KALW's Holly J. McDeed.
It was the fall of 2019, and Chesa Boudin was still trying to convince San Francisco residents he was the right man to lead the DA's office. He stopped by an event that included a presentation of the shooting death of Luis Gongora Pat. He'd been killed by police in San Francisco's Mission District in 2016. Suddenly, one of the people hosting the event, Adriana Camarena, turned her attention to Boudin.
I just want to put someone in this room on the spot.
Camarena is a longtime advocate for families of people who are victims of police violence. She's a trained lawyer and an immigrant from Mexico, and she helps Spanish-speaking families in particular share their stories to prevent the media or police from damaging the reputations of people they love. So she's used to standing up for these families.
What are you going to do to have an independent police investigation that gives these families a different result?
Boudin went up to the mic.
One of the first things I'm going to do after I take office is take a fresh look at all of these cases. No puedo decir hoy exactamente.
Camarena told him the community will hold him to that promise.
Well, when Chesa gets elected, we'll be knocking down your door to get those cases reopened.
Please do.
It was a bold pledge for a candidate running for district attorney. Dozens of families impacted by police shootings in San Francisco have watched as DA after DA after DA declined to file charges.
And I do lose sleep at night about it.
About a month after Boudin was sworn in, he sounded less like an idealistic candidate and more like a pragmatic DA.
I don't think we're going to be able to make everybody happy. I mean, there will be cases where, you know, anybody who looks at a video of a particular shooting or interaction, for example, would say that what the officer did was wrong. But that doesn't always mean it's a crime.
To the family of Luis Gongora Pat, it mattered that Boudin said he would take a second look at their case. And if you want to understand why, you need to understand the shooting and how the previous DA responded. And you need to know about his life and who he was. Luis Armando Poot Pat is his cousin. They both grew up in the Mexican province of Yucatan. He remembers how they would be covered in mud when they played together in the rain.
Hasta 8 horas jugando agua en la calle, en el monte, en la calle, donde sea.
We played for as long as 8 hours, in the streets or on the mountain, anywhere. And he loved to make the sound of toads, so we started calling him Sapo.
Poot moved to the U.S. around the time of the 1989 earthquake, and Luis Gongora later joined him in the Bay Area.
Aquí lo volví a ver y me sentí muy feliz al verlo. Es como...
When I saw him again here, I felt really happy. It was like seeing a brother. When we saw each other, we talked, we cried, and we laughed.
Luis Gongora got a job as a cook, and he sent money back to his village for his family to build a home. But when most of the Mayan-speaking workers at his job left, he struggled. He lost his job and became homeless. Then in April of that year, he was shot 6 times at a homeless encampment in the Mission District. Police say he threatened them with a knife. Eyewitnesses interviewed by The Guardian shortly after the shooting disagree.
Luis Gongora Pat es un indígena maya.
Luis Gongora Pat was an indigenous Mayan man who came to fight for his life in this country, who was cruelly murdered without the ability to protect himself. The murderers, the police, who are supposed to be there to help us, destroyed the life of a human being. And to this day, we are still struggling to raise up his name.
Adriana Camarena became an advocate for Luis Gongora's family. She says in Mayan culture, it's common to avoid calling out the names of the dead because you want them to rest in peace. But they decided to break from that tradition to remind people of Luis Gongora's humanity.
We had long conversations about this, about what it meant to kind of break tradition a little bit and need to stand up and call out his name and make sure that his case was visible.
Activists turned their attention to then District Attorney George Gascón. It would be his call to decide whether to charge the police who killed him. But the family says they didn't hear from him for years. And in May of 2018, Gascón announced his charging decision.
But I have to tell you that I'm extremely disturbed by the state of the law today. And yet, I am duty bound to adhere to the law.
Gascón said that Luis Gongora had a knife, and he couldn't prove that police didn't act in defense of themselves or others when they shot him.
To the family and to the community, there is very little that I can say to express my personal sorrow and that of my team. And there is nothing that I can say to bring your loved ones back.
Luis Gongora's cousin says Gascón didn't have the courage to do his job, but he is more hopeful about Chesa Boudin.
Si me preguntas cuál es el cambio, hay un gran cambio, porque puedo comunicarme con la oficina de Chesa Boudin.
If you ask me, has there been change? There's been a big change, because I can communicate directly with the office of Chesa Boudin.
Shortly after Boudin took office, COVID-19 hit.
Esa luz verde.
And our green light to go forward in our case turned into a yellow light.
Adriana Camarena says Boudin met with the family again to talk, and he explained the obstacles he was dealing with.
We have expressed our disappointment, and I'll tell you this, Chesa Boudin made no excuses. He said it's unfair to Luis's family.
George Gascón did adopt some changes in the office that made it more likely for Boudin to hold officers accountable. Christine Soto de Berry was chief of staff for Gascón, and she says at the time, the system for investigating police was incredibly broken. The San Francisco Police Department investigated themselves after deadly shootings.
And that was problematic to us because nobody can investigate themselves fairly and objectively as hard as they may try.
She says she spent years fighting and pushing to hire an independent team to investigate allegations against the police.
It took 3 different police chiefs before I could finally get it signed by now Chief Scott and implemented. And it was a huge fight at the Board of Supervisors to get funding to be able to hire lawyers that would be focused on these kinds of cases. And it was constantly threatened with cuts in its first year or two of existence.
So now Boudin has a unit of prosecutors who are the lead investigating agency in police shootings. And last spring, the public outcry after a police shooting in Minneapolis added a sense of urgency to his promises. In May of 2020, George Floyd was killed by a police officer who kneeled on his neck for nearly 9 minutes.
But until this movement, we didn't have as much ability to focus on that issue. And we didn't have as much political support from other areas of local government.
Boudin says that killing had such an impact because of the video. He felt nauseous when he saw it.
This is an officer who knows that he's being videoed by a bystander, makes eye contact with the camera that's videoing him, that's documenting his act. And neither he nor his partners are in any way moved by the witnesses crying for help, by the fact that Mr. Floyd is lying on the ground handcuffed, asking for his mother.
Soon after George Floyd was killed, Boudin adopted a policy to allow family members of people impacted by police violence to receive compensation to cover expenses like counseling and funeral costs.
This is something that was brought to my attention, first and foremost, by the families of people who've been killed by the police in San Francisco over the past several years. The Coalition for Justice and the family of Luis Gongora raised this issue with me during the campaign repeatedly.
And he was part of a coalition of top prosecutors that proposed a ban on police union donations to candidates running for the DA office. Boudin argued there was a conflict of interest there. Police unions often advocated for officers accused of excessive force. Prosecutors are tasked with investigating those officers. And for those reasons, many legal experts say police unions get in the way of meaningful change. Tony Montoya, president of the San Francisco Police Union, disagrees.
The police union is exactly that. We're a union that represents its dues-paying members.
Montoya says the union's core mission is to defend officers' procedural rights. When police officers had sent racist and homophobic text messages in 2016, for example, the union was there to make sure those officers were provided due process.
It's always about defending their procedural rights. They're entitled to a fair hearing like anybody else, irrelevant of what the allegations are. And that's really what we defended.
And he says Boudin is unfairly targeting members of that union to serve his own political agenda. So far, the DA has taken the uncommon step of charging officers. A grand jury indicted an officer who shot a man after he allegedly attacked him with a bottle. Montoya says that sends a message that police may be prosecuted for defending themselves.
And if that's the kind of message he wants to send, I pray for the future of San Francisco.
Over 1 year in, Boudin has had to make some tough calls. He's made decisions that have left law enforcement groups frustrated and family members of people killed by police disappointed. A warning to our listeners that some people might find this footage disturbing. In 2015, Alameda County Sheriff deputies brutally struck a man named Stanislav Petrov dozens of times with batons in a San Francisco alley. The footage of the incident went viral. Then public defender Jeff Adachi compared it to the Rodney King beating nearly 25 years earlier. He said an officer bribed nearby witnesses with Petrov's gold chain in exchange for their silence.
If you and I were on a video beating the living daylights out of somebody with a stick, and then two witnesses say that we stole from that person, and there's a video that proves it, we'd be behind bars months ago.
But in March of 2020, the newly sworn in DA dismissed charges against the deputies.
That was a really simple decision for us to make.
Boudin explained that an expert witness he wanted to testify in person wasn't available, so he made the call to dismiss the case and said he planned to refile charges later.
So we took what's called a first dismissal, and we have the right to refile that case anytime in the next year or more. And we haven't refiled it simply because the courts are not fully open.
Michael Haddad's law firm represented Petrov. He said Petrov suffered broken bones and head trauma, as well as permanent disability and disfigurement. Haddad doesn't buy Boudin's COVID-related argument.
To me, that doesn't make any sense. It's a matter of priorities. And what criminal cases does he think are the most important to put his resources behind? If not this one, then what?
He says this should be one of the easiest cases to prosecute because it's captured on video. Meanwhile, Petrov is serving time in prison for unrelated crimes he pled guilty to.
And why won't these officers take responsibility for their crimes? Why won't this so-called progressive district attorney take responsibility and do his job and hold these bad officers responsible if they won't take responsibility themselves?
So the family of Stanislav Petrov is left waiting to see if Boudin will keep his promise to refile. Other families of people killed by police, from Mario Woods to Alex Nieto to Luis Gongora Pat, wait to see if he'll take a second look at their cases. And Luis Gongora's family continues to talk about him, no matter how much trauma it brings up, because they want people to remember the person he was.
Y esa es la razón que pienso que a Chase Boudin se le va a ser difícil sacar un trabajo rápido.
It's going to be hard for Chase to work quickly, but I don't lose hope.
So for now, they hope and they wait. In the next episode, we'll take a look at another public safety threat in San Francisco.
But I think it is appropriate to be alarmist about fentanyl. It is killing people at a rate that we have never seen of any drug that I'm aware of.
The role of law enforcement and public health in the opioid crisis. For Cross Currents, I'm Hajay McDeed. That
That story was co-reported by Alice Wolfley and Sona Avakian.